You are listening to the Voice of Vashon 101.9, your island connection in beautiful downtown Vashon, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard. I'll be your host today on Stirring the Pot, and my co-host...
And Arm Candy. This is Tom Conway.
Yeah, I'm great Arm Candy today. And Tom Conway. We're sitting here in the studio with Truman O'Brien, who keeps all the systems running for us. Hi, Truman. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
And so it's been a while, Tom, since you've been here. We took a little break because you had some family stuff going on and some...
Yeah.
You had a little travel, a little of this and a little of that, and we missed you.
And Grandpa can't even remember what...
what it was. It was a whole week ago or 2 weeks ago, you know? It was
a long time ago. I'm hard-pressed.
I know.
This is why I should... I think you don't need a diary when you're 16. You need a diary when you're 68.
I know, but, you know, you and I have such a track record of... Okay, we'll have coffee. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, well, wait. Could we change the time? Oh, wait. Was it tomorrow? What are we... Where? What?
You know, it is
And the
uncanny.
Last time we tried
it
to
is
have...
uncanny we do
I
that.
I know, because the last time we tried to have coffee, I think there were 5 changes all within the same day.
Yes.
You know, it was like, yes, no, maybe, okay. No, we're back on. Okay.
And I will
But
take
we switched
full...
places at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will take full responsibility because I was the one that go, can we do this? Oh, wait. Can we do this? I forgot I had to do this. And can we do this? Oh, wait. I'm not going to be doing that. Can we go back to what we were doing? And it was like, luckily, I, and then it's bad when you you send a message to the to your partner in crime and say, don't hate me. But
I know that was pretty funny. I could never hate you. And really, I've just learned, as you do with me when these things happen, is just be patient because it'll all work out. It'll happen today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll work out, you know, but I understand the thing about not remembering what you did last week.
It is so true.
I really get it. What'd you have for breakfast kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So what have you been doing?
Well, it was a fraught weekend. I went to a really wonderful wedding on the island.
I know you baked a pie for the wedding.
And I baked a pie for the wedding.
Cherry pie. It was beautiful.
Yeah. It was one of the groom's favorite. So, his new husband had me make it for him.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And it was really a lovely ceremony. And, you know, it's one of those things what I love about weddings on Vashon in particular is they have a lot of heart. And,
oh, they do. Yes, you're right.
And there were all these sort of wonderful, quirky, fun things that the couple did that, you know, they must have had 14 flower kids that were basically, it looked like the Pied Piper was in town and they were throwing flowers. And then the boys, of course, had to get into like really throwing the flowers.
Oh,
like,
cute.
And,
yeah.
And acting out ninja style. But it was really, and it was on a bluff overlooking the sound.
Beautiful.
And, yeah. It was just really, and then we had food trucks. It was great.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
How very nice.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. There was Syrian. And Mexican, and then there was a pizza oven, and then there was ice cream, the ice creamery, and macaroon.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Macaroon. You know, I had macaroon the other day.
Yeah.
I went to Snapdragon, Black Cat Cabaret, the burlesque show.
Oh, you did?
It was so much fun. I went to the first one 2 years ago, and I missed last year's, and so I decided to go this year. This year, they had more local talent. The previous one, I think they imported a lot of Seattle talent. It was all great. My point is...
They never got back to me.
Didn't they?
No.
I think you're on the list for next year.
I showed them a video.
Well, maybe we should do a duo.
Oh, baby.
We could do a duo, some big feathers and things.
Oh, I like
it. It was kind of fun.
A lot of coverage.
It was really fun. But anyway, we had hibiscus cocktails.
Oh.
And it was a whole new treat for me. I'd never had one. And it was hibiscus tea with champagne and Campari.
I'm sure it was a beautiful color.
Oh, it was so pretty. And then, of course, the required little umbrella with some strawberries and oranges and, you know.
I wonder how that got started, the umbrella.
Oh, the tiki torch lounges, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's
Trader Joe's. Trader Vic's. Trader Vic's.
There's a place in Portland called the Alibi Lounge up in the northeast kind of.
We used to have an Alibi room here.
I know. I remember people talking about that. Yeah. It was before my time. But Alibi is a fabulous place if you ever go to Portland, because they have really out of the world cocktails. The service is fabulous. The food's great. And it's all Tiki Hut. It's all tiki. Yeah. So anyway, that's a little off track. But
that was a big thing when I was a kid, when we lived in Virginia. I think it was in Washington, D.C. You'd go to, you know, Trader Vic's for,
Well,
your
that was a big deal.
Birthday. Yeah.
Trader Vic's was like fancy.
It was fancy,
fancy.
I wore my double-breasted
coat and tie. Yes, you good little boy.
Got my little Parker Stevenson haircut.
Yeah. Well, speaking of food trucks, I went on a little road trip in the last couple of weeks. I went to Portland. Well, actually, I didn't go to Portland. There's a few towns along the Columbia River that would be north and west of Portland on Highway 30 that you take on your way to Astoria.
This is on the Oregon side?
On the Oregon side of the river. And there's a town called Scappoose, which is an old Indian name. I don't know what it means. But the Scappoose, and there is St. Helens. And they are both just lovely little towns, little funky Oregon towns, you know. And I went to dinner with my son at a place called the Klondike in St. Helens.
Sweet.
And it's an old hotel, like, you know, 150, like one of those old hotels, like you can picture it in your brain. They don't use the hotel part anymore. That all is closed off, but they've turned the bottom floor into a beautiful restaurant. And I had some of the best food I've had in a long time for a very reasonable price.
Is it a destination restaurant, would you say?
Or
people definitely go there?
People go there. It's a busy place. And I was thinking, you know, we have so much, people are sort of not wanting to fly right now and kind of wanting to be careful about, but they still want to get away. And I just think these two little areas down there are so precious. And it's about a 3-hour drive.
Oh, okay.
From here. I mean, so
is it
from
where
Tacoma.
The Columbia is sort of that huge, wide estuary part of the river, or is it?
No, it's the River River.
River River, okay.
It's the River River. And you can see the boats going down the river and the barges and, you know. So we had just a fabulous dinner there. And then I had short ribs, which I have not had in years, really. And they were done like melty in
your
mouth.
And is that beef or pork? That's beef, right?
Beef, yeah. And they took it off the bone, sliced it, and served it on top of parsnip puree with little roasted potatoes and fresh garden asparagus.
Who did you go down there with? Did you have like a secret assignation or something?
Yes,
or
it was all secret.
Was Mr. Clooney two-timing?
I went down to see my kids. My son lives down there.
Oh, that's great.
And I went down to see him, and he's a musician. I mean, he has a real job.
Sweet.
He has a real job, you know, but he's a fabulous musician. They had a gig at this. So here's another place to go when you go down there. It's in Scappoose, and it's called The Lodge. And it is it's a great big bar, but for some reason I don't get it. It's a family oriented place. All kids can go there.
Can kids go to bars in Oregon?
No.
Oh.
So there's some law somewhere. So the way they arrange, like legally, only this part is only this part is alcohol or something. I don't know. But anyway, the food there, they have a big bar with tables and chairs and a sound stage. And then outside is a giant yard, a huge yard that is surrounded by food carts. And so people come there on the weekends. They come for lunch during the week, people who are working, and order from the food cart. And you can sit in the bar. You can sit
so you
in
can
the,
always be guaranteed there's going to be a food truck at this place.
They're permanent.
Oh, awesome.
They don't move them at all. And I had the best Indian food I've had in years. I am not kidding you. I had lamb korma, and it was fabulous. So we did that. It was like a really big eating weekend. And to find these little places along the river.
Those are our kind of events, Linda.
Yeah, it's really nice. And there's also in St. Helens, there's a little, or Rainier, maybe it's in Rainier. There's a little breakfast place on the corner that sits right above the river. And that is mom and pop, and they're making pancakes, and their kids are waiting on tables. And it's just, the food's fabulous. And it was just really a nice long weekend of great food and camaraderie
and
music.
Nice family,
you know?
Yeah,
it was really nice. So I would encourage anybody who gets bored and would like to do a short little road trip, you know? There's places to stay. There's cute little Airbnbs. And I didn't really check out the hotel situation down there because I have my own space at my son's house, you know.
And plus the scenery is incredible.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And there are many, many walking trails. And we walked along the Columbia River for a while. And it's just, that river is a magical river. It is so big. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. So a nice weekend trip or middle of the week jaunt.
Boy, that's great. It's good for you. It. You're not sitting home pouting and pining.
Not recently.
No, we reserve that for the winter.
Yeah, you should check me in February.
Okay.
yeah. So that was really fun. And by the time we got done eating dinner, there was just no room for dessert. But it's kind of one of those places that has giant desserts, you know, that you get really tempted to.
Like a major wedge of something.
Huge wedge or a giant bowl of ice cream, like huge with some homemade topping stuff. But we did not indulge because we were just too full.
Well, that sounds like a worthy full.
Yeah, it was a worthy full. That's
you know,
for sure.
In the dessert department, I had a new dessert to me. Mm-hmm. I've heard of it, and I've always wondered what it was. It was a lemon posset.
Oh, the Brit thing.
The Brit thing, and it's
P-O-S-S-E-T. One T. Yeah.
And it's basically, it's like the easiest dessert in the world. A little bit more about technique than, the ingredients. It's basically cream, sugar, and lemon juice.
What's not to love?
What's not to love? And it makes, like, if you like panna cotta, I would describe it as sort of panna cotta without the gelatin.
So tell me what you do.
So you, if you have two cups of cream, and you put them in a saucepan, and you gently heat it to where it starts to simmer, and then you add your sugar, usually about 3/4 cup of sugar, and you stir that around, and then you let it just do a low simmer for about 5 minutes, and then you take it off the heat once it's been doing that for a good 5 minutes, and then you you take lemon juice, like 1/4 cup or like three, pretty much to gauge, that's about 3 big lemons that you've already zested, and you put in the lemon juice and the zest and the cream and the sugar, and you stir it around and you just let it go room temperature, and then you pour it in ramekins and then you put it in the refrigerator, and it turns into this like magical sort of Greek yogurt consistency.
Yeah.
And it's just bright and beautiful, creamy.
And simple.
Oh, you can, and strain it. You might want to strain it. There's no eggs in it or anything, but it's always good to, if you don't want little bits of lemon zest, you can strain it.
But I like those little bits of lemon zest.
Right, and it's
really
perfect for, we had it with strawberries and fresh strawberries. So they were chopped up.
Be good with blueberries too.
Great with blueberries.
Oh, I love blueberry lemon things. Yeah.
And this was at a friend of mine's little outdoor soiree.
Nice.
And then I brought something that uncanny that it went so well with it. And I had no idea. But I made these jam bars. It was like one of those 5-star recipes.
Yes.
And it basically is easily just shortbread. You make, a Scottish shortbread, and you reserve a cup of the dough and put it in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And then you just press it in a, I think it's an 8x8.
Mm-hmm. Little square pan.
Little square pan. And then you bake it. And when it's done, the shortbread's done, you put, about a pint jar of your favorite jam. I use strawberry. And then you take the reserved shortbread dough out of the refrigerator. And it's like hard as a rock. And then you grate it with a cheese grater. And you get all these little sweet little slicey things, dicey.
Like crumbles,
hash browns.
Like
crumbles or hash. It looks like hash browns are on top of it.
Yeah.
And then you bake it again until that dough is golden brown.
After
and
you've
done.
Put the jam on.
After the jam is
and
on.
And jam of any flavor.
Any flavor, your choice. And then you just let it cool, and you have these little jam bars that are, oh man, they're good.
They're good. They're
and
really
so
good.
And so easy.
Could I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Truman.
Do you completely cook the first layer?
Yes.
So it's completely done.
Yeah,
so
completely
it's hard.
Done.
Yeah. It's then, a crust. Yeah. The rest of it wouldn't take that long.
No. And what's good is, so the jam kind of will sog it up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So it works. Mm-hmm. And then the top is a lesser done because...
So it's like a little crust almost.
Yeah.
It is a crust. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like a shortbread crust.
And what kind of temperature? 350?
I'm 350. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down.
Okay. And the original recipe.
Are you going to invite us over?
Maybe.
Okay.
The original recipe is the New York Times is called strawberry jam bars. And they threw some cardamom in it, but I didn't have any.
Yeah. Cardamom is a big thing now to be putting in sweets.
It is. And I have a lot of jars that are blank, and I don't trust myself. So
for what they are.
I sniff and I go, well,
I don't know
that's
what
either
that is.
Cardamom or allspice.
I know.
Okay, that's either, I know that's clove, but there's something else
There's something else in there. I know.
It's so hard to label things, Tom.
It's really hard to label things and keep them in order. I have the same problem at my house. Yeah. I was kind of embarrassed the other day. I had company and I was opening my pantry door looking for something that, of course, is way in the back mm-hmm. of the shelf. And I was maneuvering my way through, the jungle of the pantry mm-hmm. to get to the back without having to move anything off the shelf. Well, of course, 8 things fell off and fell onto the floor. I was like, I know. It's, you know,
it's
some
so
of
funny. Just, I know. Mine right now looks like that the sort of trope in every sitcom where they open up the closet door and it's chock-a-block solid.
Yeah,
it looks like a trash compactor is, you know. So yeah. I have a relative, I have family visiting in I've got a countdown, two weeks or 3 weeks before I've got to get certain areas clean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is it's so bad that it requires me to put up 2 card tables in another room. Mom is coming. Isn't it funny? We never grow up.
No, we
never
don't. Grow Hurry up. Clean your room.
Get your
Hurry
room
up.
Clean.
Shove everything under the bed.
Exactly. Exactly. The good news is she doesn't like to. I'm sorry. This is horrible. It wasn't good news. But let me just put it this way. It's advantageous that she doesn't like to take stairs anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
good.
So the upstairs is, whatever I want it
fine.
To be. Yeah.
It's got that lived in look.
It has a lived in look.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I want to go back to this posset thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of a lemon blueberry dessert that I made way back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the same thing with cream, only there's some whipped cream along with the cream that you heat.
Oh, and you
somehow
mix it?
You mix it and you put the lemon zest and lemon
mm-hmm.
and blueberries in it, and it has to sit overnight or it will be runny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a combination of whipped cream and cream.
Regular that sounds
cream.
Yummy.
Oh, it was really good. And now I have to make it again. I have to find that recipe. Do you remember the cookbook called America's Best?
Was it like recipes from each state?
No, it was just one woman who...
There was one called Local Flavors.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
This was America's Best.
Did you notice, Truman, how dismissive that was? Like, no, Tom, that's not it. You know, you go back to your good housekeeping recipes, and I'll go back to my 8,400 cookbooks that are going to bring down the roof soon.
You know, I really... Well, you've seen my cookbook collection, and you've seen it dwindle. You know, I really have.
I think I've seen a few at Granny's, actually.
I'm sure you have. Yeah, a lot of them. And I sold a lot of them because, and then I decided, I have beautiful, beautiful cookbooks, all of which are red, many of which I've never cooked out of.
Uh-huh.
But I've read them all. I take cookbooks to bed to read. And I decided to give them as gifts. It's like, and I tell people, this is my cookbook. I've had this for years, but I thought you would enjoy it. And I gave 3 to my granddaughter, and she was over the moon. She loved it because they're those expensive.
That, that's a good idea. Linda had a good idea.
Thank you. Finally. Did I pass muster? Oh,
I hope my wife is listening to this.
Well, she was most appreciative. And within that, I gave her a couple that I had used extensively. And mm-hmm. I made notes in them for her. And I inscribed on the beginning of each book and on the inside cover where it came from, mm-hmm. who gave it to me, or how, when I've had. And it was really nice. And I gave one to a friend for her birthday, too. And she loved it. So
that is a really lovely, perfect gift.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm shocked. I'm awe and gobsmacked.
Like, why didn't you think of it?
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, can we talk about fruit?
The fruit, yeah.
The fruit. It's here.
It is.
It's 'tis the season.
It is.
I'm so happy. The fruit thing at the... I know that... Okay, well, it's the Yakima people come here with their cherries.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm just, they're very expensive this year. They're $8 a pound.
Yeah.
They're very expensive, but it's once a year. And people, I mean, you pay $15 for a cocktail. So
right.
Why wouldn't I buy a bag of cherries, you
Absolutely.
Know? So
and they're basically the best cherries in the world.
In the world.
Are grown in
the world.
Washington State, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And I will challenge anyone to disagree with
Which
me.
Are your favorite? Do you like the Queen Anne or the Bing?
I like them both. They're so different. But I tell you what, there's getting a Rainier is just such the champagne of cherries, stone cherries.
Mine is hands down Bing, hands down over all of them. They're sweet and uh-huh. juicy and crunchy, and they're so. Do you know how the Bing cherry got its name?
I was just going to ask you that. Go ahead.
Why? Do you already know?
Well, I want to see if I think I know that I know that
okay.
I know. Yeah.
Well, I did a stint with Oregon Tourism for a while, and I was their marketing. I wrote mm-hmm. tourism stuff for them for a long time. And I did research on the Bing cherry crops down there, and they have a lot of Bing cherries in Oregon as well. Mm-hmm. And so there was on the Oregon Trail, way back whenever that was in the 1850s, a man from Missouri came out with his cherry trees from Missouri, and he grafted them and he planted them. Some of them made it, some of them didn't, but he had an orchard in southern Oregon, and he was raising cherries because he was going to miss his cherries because they didn't have them in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, had help in the fields or in the orchard. And one day, after many grafts and many things, there were different cherries that came out. Some were good, some weren't, and he was mm-hmm. experimenting. And one of his helpers came and had this dark red, juicy cherry that they hadn't seen before. And it happened, he was showing him which tree. It was over there on that tree, and that's what this made. And his name was Mr. Bing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a Chinese immigrant, and yeah. he worked for, and I cannot remember the orchard yeah. owner's name, but it's a true story. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, it was Mr. Bing. And now I just love Bing cherries. You know, they're so...
I do too, because it doesn't... it's one of those where the name is... it's almost like you don't... You just sort of take it for granted, like Bing, Bing cherries. And to know that there's a Mr. Bing...
And there was a Mr. Bing.
And who mm-hmm. steadfastly mm-hmm. developed new strains of cherries.
I know,
yeah.
I know. Can we talk about cherry pie? I want to go back to your cherry pie that you did
yeah.
For the wedding.
Yeah.
You know, there are diehard people that will only use sour cherries in pie.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people who say cherry pies, cherry pies, cherry pie. How are you in that? Where are you in that school?
Oh, I think they're kind of two different things. I mean, I look at them like a peach and an apple, like a mm-hmm. a sour pie cherry is a different creature than a... In fact, even when you look at old historic or vintage cherry pitters,
mm-hmm.
the cherry pitters that they used to, that the old ones I have, they only work with a sour cherry. If you put a big new kind of, you know, a mm-hmm. Bing or a Rainier.
Fancy cherry.
Yeah, it just stops it up. It's too big. It's too firm.
The pit is
They're too
big?
Firm. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, and the cherry is too big. So I have a couple really wonderful hand crank cherry pitters mm-hmm. that were really designed more for sour cherries, for making jam
uh-huh.
or making pies or canning that sort of, it becomes sort of a sluice, you know,
yeah,
it's almost
sluice
like a chunky
a
applesauce mm-hmm. sort of for sour cherries because they don't hold their form.
No, not at all. They don't.
But the other cherries do. Mm-hmm. And I've made pies out of both of mm-hmm. them and, I like them equally.
I do too.
I like to do a little, maybe with the sweet cherry, I don't use as many cherries. I usually
Or as much sugar.
Or as much sugar.
Right.
And so it's a little, and I usually like those maybe even in a galette where I just fold
yeah.
over the dough and make it
yeah.
kind of a rustic thing. They're really good if you want to do like like the Rainier, one of the best pies I think I've made. I haven't made it in ages, but you take a fragia pan, mm-hmm. you know, the basically an almond mm-hmm. paste sort of thing with eggs, and you put that on the bottom, so you have fragia pan almond paste
on top of the crust or
on top of the
instead
crust.
Of on top of,
and then you have the cherries.
Yum.
And so you have this nice little bed of almond.
Well, cherry
goodness.
Almond thing, anything
Great
cherry
combo.
Almond is a perfect combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just was wondering because, you know, there are diehard people that poo-poo a sweet cherry pie.
Yeah, well.
And I like them all. I'm glad you have
people
legitimized.
People are getting on my nerves lately.
I know, you have legitimized my taste. Thank you.
I tell you what. Yeah. Like sometimes when we're talking food, I just want to look at people and go like, oh my God, is that your world?
They would die if I knew I used the scone mix.
Exactly. Or they'll be so, food is food and mm-hmm. you just try to get the best of what you have.
Yeah, and what you like.
And there aren't, don't make so many rules.
I know. I think
if you cook and... it's all about being healthy and joy, you know, not to be a little woo-woo Vashon, but, you know, if there's joy in your cooking,
it's
all going to work, you know.
Hey, Truman, what's your deal? Tell me about summer fruits.
I was going to say, before you get away from the fruit thing, my wife has found this place in Albany, Georgia.
Okay.
It's called Sunnyland Farms.
All right.
I'm going to throw in a plug for them.
Yeah.
But right now, right at this very moment.
Today,
I just looked on their website. They are shipping fresh Georgia peaches.
Oh, gosh.
And
oh,
I'm
my
telling
goodness.
You, we just bought
a
case of them. They're 12. They come individually hand-packed in foam rubber. I mean, I have no idea what they cost. I don't want to know.
Don't ask.
No.
No.
But anyway, I'm kind of particular about my peaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got to be juicy and they got to be... sort of firm.
And no mealy.
No mealy. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I hate
no, and we're not quite at peach season here yet.
No, but boy, I'm telling you, if you order these things, they ship them, boom, right away.
Right now, and you get them.
And they are so amazing.
I used to have a friend. I used to have a friend.
once?
We lost touch. Let me just put it that way. But he lived in Georgia, and he sent me peaches. About this time of year for a couple of years. And there's nothing like a Georgia peach. Well, you know, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
You know about Georgia peaches.
You know, there was a time when, I'm a big proponent of Washington peaches and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when I had like the best gig. When I was actively doing my blog, mm-hmm. Tall Clover Farm.
Yes, Tall Clover Farm. Look it up.
And I was doing... anyway, I was contacted by the Washington... Stone Fruit Association.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people, you know, that wouldn't mean much to me.
It
was the holy grail of foodland, you know. So they said,
"That's
would
better
you...
than a gold medal."
Yeah, and they were saying like, "Would if we send you a case of stone fruit peaches and apricots, would you do some recipes and write about them?" And I go, "Would I?"
Throw me in that briar patch.
Let me think about that.
And then there was one time I got like this box and it had been totally smashed. Although the bottom was still pretty good, but the top was kind of smashed. And I texted them. I said, "I hate to be, I don't want to be a problem here."
Mm-hmm.
And I was called a canbassador because I could. Because I was using, I had to do a recipe about canning Washington State stone fruit. So I milked that little title for a long time.
I bet you did.
Tom Conway, Washington State canbassador. but it was really fun because I would try to find good recipes that would highlight Washington State fruit and that sort of thing. But what I was going to say about the peaches, there's also, I love peaches so much and mm-hmm. I've been in my house like 21 years and I've tried to grow peaches to the point of where I, I kneel on the ground and pound the earth and go, why can't we grow? You can grow an apple. Why won't a peach work? And our climate is just so quirky for peaches, you know, and which is nuts because Vashon used to have, but it was also heavily sprayed, I think, to make it work.
Yes.
But they used to have peach festivals here on mm-hmm. Vashon.
Yeah,
they
had instead of the strawberry festival.
Yeah. It was a big, but now you have all sorts of cankers and borers and all this stuff. But anyway. Get to the point, Tom. Oh, yeah. I have a greenhouse. I have a big, I'm lucky enough to have a wonderful high tunnel hoop house. It's about 30 by 70. And
It's big.
And what's really great about it is I started thwarting my nose at Mother Nature and saying, okay, I'm bringing it inside.
So
I started planting peach trees in my high tunnel hoop house.
I remember when you did that.
And I've had really good luck. You know, granted, with my current water bill, because I don't have a well,
mm-hmm.
Each peach is about $8.52 a piece. But
they're really good.
So good.
Yeah.
But it's that thing when you talk about the peaches that you're getting, like the ones that I'm growing are varieties that you can't really get them because they don't ship. There's one called Suncrest, which is to me kind of the the best in, that I have. Mm-hmm. And there's another one, Contender, and oh, what's the other one? There's a veteran. I have a veteran, which is an old type of peach. Mm-hmm. But they have that true peachy flavor.
Yeah.
And I will share it with you. We'll be on air and just be moaning, okay?
That'll be good.
How big do these trees get inside your...
They get... The ceiling at the peak is 14 feet tall. But there's a real... What's interesting about growing trees in a greenhouse is that when they're out at the greenhouse, you know, they're always getting... I have to water them a lot. But in the winter, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But they don't get the tension from wind, and they look gorgeous, but they're not the trunks and the limbs aren't as strong because
they're not fighting nature.
Yeah, when you fight wind, the tree is strengthened by that.
Sure.
And so when I get too many, first couple of years, I had to admit that I have to thin. If you don't thin the peaches, the branches break.
Oh, sure.
And I was propping them and doing some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice problem to have.
Yeah.
But this year I have a really good crop of them. So
can you what's the word for when you do apple tree, esplanade or
espalier?
Is that it?
Yeah, you can espalier. I do the ones at the low side.
I'm not a gardener. I have no idea what that word means.
Espalier.
Yeah.
In a French accent.
Espalier.
It was a practice for trees in walled gardens. Yeah. Probably started in France.
Oh, that.
And they make it a plane in that it goes along a wall. So
And sort of climbs the wall.
Yeah, they basically prune it accordingly. So it has basically just, it's
kind of flat. Right?
Flat. It's flat against the wall. Yeah.
So you can do that with yours?
You can, but I don't. What I do is I sort of do mm-hmm. when it's a low ceiling on the outer part of the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And I grow donut peaches.
Oh, those were so good last year.
And I have apricots. The apricots have finally come in. I threatened them last year. The year before I threatened them, I said, you're out of here. You've been in here 5 years taking up good space.
Because there was a bad year. Maybe you had five bad years.
They're very quirky little trees, and now they're producing.
Are you going to have enough to make jam again?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we can talk about that next time because that whole jam making thing, especially with apricots, is a wonderful.
I kind of feel like a pusher, though. Or was that a drug dealer?
Linda, you give a few free.
Call and whisper and go, like, got jam?
Do you have any jam?
So here's a sauce.
At 1 o'clock in the morning.
What are you wearing? I don't have the recipe, but you use a sweet syrup, and lime juice, and ginger, and you make this kind of my wife makes it and put it in the fridge. It gets nice and cold, and then you put your peaches in it.
Oh,
they soak in it, sliced, and you add mint. It.
Oh
my gosh.
And then do you eat it kind of like a fruit soup sort of thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. Or
ginger and sugar syrup.
Simple. That's what I was looking for. And lime juice. Fresh limes.
All that works. And some mint.
I can't wait for our peach show, and then we can make Bellinis.
Ooh.
The peach drink.
You know I'm gonna make a peach clafoutie.
Well, I don't know what the heck that is, but I'm afraid to ask.
Why don't you just take a shish kebab skewer and ram it through my heart?
Tom and I have a running joke. I love clafoutie, and it's a dessert that Tom calls it like a cherry omelet.
It's an omelet.
it's eggy, but it's kind of a cake, and it's kind of a...
kind of not
pudding-y,
that good.
Kind of, it's so good. It's so good. And we have agreed to disagree on that one. And now it's kind of become a running joke.
It's
with
definitely
us
our thing. Yeah. We're it is. We can manage to fit in a jab at Claire. I can jab about clafoutie in any conversation.
Well, I keep being tempted to invite you over for tea and serve you some clafoutie. And see if you would even know it was clafoutie.
Well, I would be
because if it were sliced and presented beautifully.
Yes.
I don't know that you would. I don't know.
And if I chewed it really well, like instead of like it was gummy or something,
it's not.
Maybe
gummy.
We could have like the entree could be liver and onions or something.
Yeah. Well, okay, that would be good. I love liver and onions.
Oh, that didn't work. Okay.
So back to the fruit thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how we serve some of these fruits. You know, are you a I'm a scone person. I love scones. And I think scones work as well as a shortcake, you know, like strawberry shortcake. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would do a scone with that or a biscuit.
What is there, you know, I don't know this. I haven't done, so I'm asking it on the air and haven't done any research. Scone and a, or as they say in England.
Scone.
Like compost. We're not making fun of British people. We're not.
We love you.
But it's sort of one of the things like that are so curious. Like you go, what's this about compost and pot pasta? I don't get
and
it.
And salsa.
I know. You say everything else so nicely. Why do you mess up those things?
Anyway, how do you prefer to have your, like, for strawberry shortcake?
Strawberry shortcake. Oh, I totally, I basically just make like an all cream or all butter biscuit. And I add a quarter cup of sugar in it.
And then it's a shortcake.
Mm-hmm. And then what I tend to do is make it a little thinner, so it's a little crispier. So
I like the crispy.
Because you slice it in the middle, so you put, you know, biscuit, berries or peaches, ice cream, and do you ice cream whipped cream or just whipped cream?
I like whipped cream.
I like ice cream whipped cream.
But I also love, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you could
right.
serve me both and I'd be very happy. Yeah. You know, I was a scone snob for quite a few years.
Among many things.
But I've gotten over it.
That's right. And you're just a down-home girl now.
I'm just a down-home girl. But I discovered a scone mix that I absolutely love.
Awesome.
It's Fisher's. Do you know Fisher's
scone
mix?
Oh, yeah. The fair people.
The fair people that have the Fisher's truck.
Those are good. You can
Gosh. And I don't have to ever home make a scone again, ever. They're so good. And talking about making the batter just a little bit thinner, I do the same with that. I make it a little bit thinner. And they tell you to roll it out and then make triangles because their scones are triangles. And I don't do that either. I make them round. I roll it out.
With a cutter?
Yeah. And I roll out the dough a little thicker than you would for a scone. And then they rise up. And you know, too, I'm sure you do because you're the biscuit maker of the world, but when you're cutting your scone or your biscuit with your cutter, whether you're using a glass or a coffee cup or an actual biscuit cutter, you don't twist when you're cutting.
Don't.
Because if you twist, what that does is it seals up all the edges of the, all the little layers of dough in there.
You know, I'd normally call hooey to this kind of talking, but it's true. It really
is. It is true.
This is like if you do, you sort of seal up.
It seals the outside.
Well, I know it kind of makes a little rim around it when you twist it.
Right? But when you go straight down,
go straight up with it, then once it's baked, you can look at it and you see all those luscious layers are separate in there.
Yeah.
And it's just a much.
But how do you? I mean, you have to really push on the.
Oh, you can dip it in flour too. That's another way to do it. Oh, I keep pounding the table.
That's okay. Dip it in flour so it doesn't stick.
I'll do that.
You
have to coax it a little bit, you know, like
here, baby. Come to mommy.
And I mean, it's no great sin if you twist it, really. But they're just much prettier, and I think they're more flavorful. But you know, pretty is a lot about flavor too.
Do you remember those goofy things? I shouldn't say this. People, I love it, like when I trash talk something. It was like, oh, people do eat these things,
and now I
sound like the snob. Because my mom and dad grew up in Indiana, and I remember we'd go to the AMP in South Carolina. At that time, we were living in South Carolina, and we would get those goofy sponge things that had like a big divot in the middle they looked like hockey
those
pucks.
Little round yellow things.
Yeah, and they were sponge cake.
Spongy. Yeah.
And I remember my mom, she goes, that is not shortcake.
No.
She would never get them. I go, can we have these? These are like really fancy. They're store-bought.
Well, they're like kind of the Twinkie version of
They're
of
very
shortcake.
Much like a Twinkie, yeah.
Well, talking about the scones and the biscuits and what's your favorite with the strawberries?
And pound cake.
Pound cake is very good with strawberries.
Totally.
However, you know what my favorite thing is with strawberries, fresh strawberries? Pancakes. A lovely, thin, beautiful, fluffy pancake with a ton of strawberries on it and a gallon of whipped cream.
I say, give me some whipped cream, my man's sister.
I had a good friend when I was at first in college. He was a football player, a fellow from the Midwest somewhere. Enormous guy. And he had no money. You know, he was playing on a scholarship. And I took him to have dinner one night at a pancake house. and they had strawberry waffles.
Yeah, that would be my second favorite.
Hallelujah Child.
So I said, have anything you want, I'm buying. Mm-hmm. So he ordered strawberry waffles. Mm-hmm. He inhaled the first one, and I could look at him kind of going,
Is that all there is?
I said, you know, you want another one? Yeah.
Aww.
And he ate two of those things.
Did he?
And they were huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and they're so good.
Oh, yeah.
And they're probably so good. You spent your weekly allowance or monthly allowance in one meal.
For that, but it was worth it. Just to watch him eat that.
You know, when I got married the first time.
how many are there?
Two. Oh. There's two. Only two.
She held up her hand five. But,
but she said two. That's not true.
No,
when
two.
I got married, a good friend of mine, I was really good friends with a boy in school. We grew up together and our moms were friends. And she was kind of my second mom and she really loved me. And she sent a card with money in it just to my future husband and with instructions of how to make the waffles for Linda's favorite breakfast. And you must have strawberries and whipped cream. And the money was so that he could go buy the supplies and make
That's
breakfast.
So nice.
Oh, it's the sweetest thing ever.
Those are wonderful gestures. Like you doing that for your friend. When you introduce people to food or people who aren't used to food or going out to eat, or like when I was in college and I never, you know, that we didn't go out to eat ever. And, my second cousin, he lived upstate where I was going to school, and he would come down and take me out to dinner. And I was just like, I just felt like, you know, you know, the Shah of Iran had shown up on campus, because we would go get, there was like a Lebanese restaurant where he'd take me, or we'd go, you know, or like, what's Red Lobster or something.
Oh, Red Lobster's big. Yeah.
One of those things. Yeah. But it was one of those things where it was like such a treat, you know, that.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as you're on fruit.
Yeah.
Have you ever had, take the medjool date, big date.
Love those.
Take the pit out.
Right.
Split it. Mm-hmm. Put in mascarpone and drizzle balsamic glaze. Have you had that?
Yes.
Do you heat it up?
No.
Steak? Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Oh,
and the other thing is that you can...
And with an orange slice. Yeah.
Oh, with an orange slice. Yeah. I haven't had the orange
nice
slice
touch.
Addition. Yeah. The other thing is blue cheese in there.
Oh,
wrap it in bacon.
Oh, yeah.
And broil them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, here you go.
Now, what you got, Tom?
Okay, now that's what I got.
What you got?
Because I feel like when you're, you know, when you're a kid and you're playing baseball and you do your fist around the bat and you go, you go up above the other one and the one who at the end wins. Okay, here's mine. This was when I lived in Seattle, and a lot of my friends, they were Italian American. They lived in Rainier Valley, and we get all. They had these great fig trees in their backyard.
Mm.
And one of my friends, the Croces, would have great figs. And I was at some. I don't know if it was at their house. It might have been somebody else, another one who was a Yugoslavian family. It was this great sort of a cultural mix of in Rainier Valley, and but they had. Their daughter brought these figs that were incredibly good. And I think I ate so many, I was almost sick. They were figs that were stuffed with like a goat type cheese or a mascarpone, I think it was goat cheese. And then they were wrapped in bacon and then they were broiled and turned. Mm-hmm. So you'd get the crackly
bacon, crispy bacon,
but it's also then fatty underneath.
And salty.
And salty with the sweet. And then the savory cheese.
Oh, I know. We have to have some.
I did hear angels sing.
Yeah, we'd have to have some.
You're making me hungry.
We must. So I went to Farmer's Market last week. There's not much fruit there yet.
No.
It's a little early.
Fruit's a tough
one. But, you know, the Yakima fruit is there.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Were they doing a brisk business, I hope, or not?
At the farmer's market?
Yeah.
It seemed really busy.
Oh, good.
Are they at the farmer's market this year?
The Yakima is, yes. And Caleb's not doing the other
one. That's what I was wondering.
He's not. And rumor has it that somebody else is going to do it, but just not quite ready to do it yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
That's got to be a tough haul because you're going to Eastern Washington.
I know.
You're getting fruit.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
And it's basically a gamble.
Well, and then the truck breaks down on the pass.
Yeah.
You've
got to sell it all or you have that investment because it doesn't last.
Yeah. Caleb said it was just a phenomenal amount of work. He loved doing it, but in the end, it doesn't balance out.
No, I wouldn't think
it
would.
I mean, he's got kids and a job and a, I mean, so I miss it though. And what I'm waiting for are the Hermiston cantaloupes.
Those are great. Oh, and the Hermiston watermelon.
Mm. Yeah. Either one. Yeah. But cantaloupe is my favorite.
How do you feel about honeydew?
Mm.
Santa Claus melons?
Mm.
Canary?
Mm. I mean,
what are we going to do with her?
I don't know. You know,
they're fine. Come on. They're fine.
Wrapped in prosciutto, maybe?
Ooh, no, I would if given the choice between any of those and a cantaloupe, I would take, if the cantaloupe is Hermiston ripe.
I'm going to try to grow those next year.
Are you?
In my greenhouse.
You should be able to.
Yeah.
My uncle down in West Texas used to get Pecos Texas cantaloupe.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
That is a different animal.
It's so hot. They need hot.
Mm-hmm. And boy, they come out there. Mm.
And those are the land of the big, long watermelons.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With black seeds in
black
them.
Black seeds.
I miss those watermelons with seeds. Yeah. I do believe they're more flavorful.
Yeah.
I do believe
there
that.
There was one that was like the top rated one for sugar. It was called Carolina Sweet, I think. And it's just huge. If it's growing in the South, it's about 40 pounds or something.
Well, I remember when we used to were kids, we got those giant watermelons. Mm-hmm. Giant. They're all little round personal melons.
I hate to tell you, but when you're little, they seem a lot bigger. I'm sorry to tell you
this. You're right. That's
but
true.
I got one more for you for a watermelon. Just for watermelon. When I was a kid, living in West Texas again, my father had a cotton farm, and so he had a well. He had a couple of wells. The water that came out of that well was like 38 degrees. I mean, it really wasn't
like an artesian spring or something?
Yeah, it was pumped, but it was just really cold, the cold water. And we would pick a watermelon. We'd go down to the where the water came out. There was a little pond there, and we would haul down one of these watermelons.
I can just see you, Truman.
And I'm
going to tear up. This is so great.
No, and I would stick that watermelon under the spout of that water.
Oh.
So it would sit there and flip and turn and get icy cold. And we would swim and lay in the hot sand until we were just cooked. And then we would take that thing out and break it on a rock.
Heaven. And break it on the rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you had to break it open to get into it.
I just wouldn't have thought of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a
really
wonderful story.
That's a great story. It's very similar to when I was a kid. My grandparents had a little cottage that was added on. You know, it wasn't like fancy like we do nowadays. It was like,
A little cottage.
Yeah. made out of pallets and stuff. But they had a well and... The well or a spring, and they had like a holding tank that was like a little metal galvanized thing, but it was open air, and you had a lid on it, but you could open it up, and it wasn't dangerous or anything. But we would do the same thing. We would go get watermelons and put them in there, and then in the late afternoon, you go get them in there, freezing. It almost hurt your teeth.
Yeah. Oh, you little scallions. What do you call rampscallions? Rapscallions?
Rapscallions.
A ramp. I'm thinking of garlic.
I know onion, girl.
Can't eat a little onion head. What's that?
Oh,
you hit the pickle.
That's the yodeling
How
pickle.
How do we stop it?
I don't know. There's a yodeling pickle on the desk.
I'll put it in the bathroom. Oh, no. some clown put
a yodeling pickle.
A yodeling pickle on the counter here, and I just picked it up and it started yodeling.
I think that's the point.
Oh my God. That sounds like a Chris Austin thing.
I want to go back to you're talking about these outdoor things you did in the summertime to cool off. Let's talk a little bit about eating outside in general and how, I don't know, just how delicious that is. You know, we're all trying to save money on groceries.
Well, especially on Vashon, look where we live.
I know. And I recently, as a matter of fact, yesterday, had a wonderful experience of eating outside with friends. And it wasn't actually spur of the moment, but kind of. Mm-hmm. And it was a bring something over and we'll sit on the porch and eat. And it didn't matter what you brought. It didn't matter. Somebody brought nuts. Somebody brought fruit. Somebody mm-hmm. brought a quesadilla. You know, it just didn't matter. And there's this beautiful table set with, you know, food that you wouldn't ordinarily organize a meal around. Mm-hmm. But we had a glass of wine and we looked at the water. We saw the birds and we sat there for 2 hours in that beautiful evening light. And it was not expensive. And it's the kind of night that you would pay hundreds of dollars for if you were to go to the fancy restaurant and do
right.
that.
Can I have a window seat and
right.
look where I am?
Right.
That's a great, I think that in nowadays, at least in my circle, mm-hmm. you know, it's like we need to find things to do that don't cost so much.
I know.
And a couple of years ago, one of my friends, she organized this thing. It was great. She would sort of call, she'd our text, okay, we're eating out tonight, and everyone would meet at a certain time, and we'd meet up at Maury Park.
Oh, yeah.
The overlook mm-hmm. that you see
so
Mount Rainier.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And you just basically, you could not go to the store, and you had to basically bring at least one, two or three, whatever you got, if you know.
That's already in your pantry.
In your pantry
fridge.
Or your refrigerator, yeah. Yeah. Whether it be a jar of pickles or it be like last night's leftover lasagna. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It was so much fun because you weren't quite sure what you were going to get.
Well, right. And or what you were going to take.
It was all, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that last night and it was so much fun because it was casual. Nobody was on the spot. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to a typical, you know, Vashon is potluck Vashon, as you know.
Potluck Island, as my mom calls it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I don't think it really was potluck. You know, it wasn't like we had somebody brought beans and somebody brought potatoes. And so it wasn't that. It mm-hmm. was snacks and cheap, easy stuff to bring. So it wasn't like
it was happy sharing.
Happy sharing. Yeah. I thought I would do that. So we decided we're going to do it again. But this time,
Truman, she's doing it with her friends. You know,
I heard that.
Her friends.
I was listening.
She's doing it with
I was looking at my
friends.
Watch. And,
she didn't say she could have said other friends, but
well,
she said
yeah,
friends.
We
her
did,
friends.
We did say friends. We thought there should be more of us than were there yesterday. So, but this time we're going to do brunch, and we want to do it in our pajamas. So everybody can just come in their bathrobes and pajamas. And it'll be, you know, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And we'll just sit on somebody's porch and have coffee and biscuits.
That's
or something.
Just every day on Vashon.
Well, I think I'd probably have to get some new pajamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. No spaghetti stains.
No spaghetti stains. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess want to encourage everybody out there to eat outside, please. Even, you know. Take a walk and just eat outside. It makes such a big difference.
I have my porches that I eat off.
Oh,
of,
I love you your know, porches.
You like know. A screened porch or?
No, there. I have like a wraparound half
he's
wrap.
He's got a veranda.
I have a veranda.
I mean, excuse me.
That's right. I'm a fancy man. Mm-hmm. No, hey, I had to rebuild it. Trust me.
It's a beautiful wide, lovely
but I have
porch.
Like, but what's so great about you know? God bless the early. House builders of Vashon because I have a porch on the northeast side, so it's shaded. Mm-hmm. And then I have a porch on the south side if you want to get baked.
Right.
You know, and then I have like a little alcove porch on the north side.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. So you just sort of rotate. And all the dogs I've ever had have rotated. They go hot till they're near death mm-hmm. and then they come in. And
they know what to
they
do.
They know which porch to
they
go
know
to cool
what
down.
To do. Yeah. Yeah. So
how about mosquitoes? We haven't had too many mosquitoes yet
no,
this year.
No, we really
have we?
Don't. Have we? I never have mosquitoes here.
Oh, boy, we do.
Do you?
Well, I have horse troughs.
What, do you live in the swamp?
Well, no, but I have, yeah, that too.
God, geez, Truman, we aren't friends, and she lashed out at you.
I noticed that. What, slap, whack, whack. No, but you know.
Well, you have horses.
I have horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... And we used to keep goldfish in the horse troughs because they ate you know, mm-hmm. until one day my wife looked out and said, oh, look, it's a blue heron up on the fence next to the water trough. Ah, it's eating our goldfish.
Eating the goldfish.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, he hit the mother load.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't, you know, that's the thing about the Pacific Northwest is think about Minnesota and the bugs.
Oh.
Minnesota is so beautiful and all their lakes and all that wonder, but oh, my gosh, the bugs.
Yeah,
the bugs.
I
and those black flies that bite. Oh, we don't have those, so that we're lucky in that regard.
Whenever I have anybody visit me from out of state, and it's in the summer, mm-hmm. and they just marvel. There are two things that are sort of funny that they marvel over, like mm-hmm. you know, they saw Sasquatch or something. It's like you don't have curtains on any of your windows. I go
right.
no, and they go, and you don't have screens on any of your windows.
Mm-mm.
I go no.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Nobody has screens. And you don't have air conditioning. Well, I wish I had that, but we don't have screens.
Mm-hmm. No. You know? I do.
Oh, do well. Well, you're a delicate flower.
I am so delicate.
That's right.
I well, Diego, the cat wouldn't like it if you did. You know, you could.
Yeah, that it actually the screens keep the cat in.
Yeah, that's probably
because he's
good.
Not allowed outside.
Good woman.
Yeah, I don't. I'm too scared to let him out.
Yeah, there's all sorts of crazy things want to eat him.
I know. So anyway, eat outside, and you know, be inventive.
Yeah, I think this is the time of year, kiddo.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I sort of invited myself over to some friend's house the other day. I haven't been there yet, but I planted the seed.
How does one do that?
Well, one just says, you know, you have that nice, you have that really nice fire pit in the backyard, which I don't have. And I just have the biggest hankering for a burnt hot dog over a fire. What would you think about that? What if I brought some hot dogs over?
You know, maybe you should wear cutoffs and a blue gingham, top and a little straw hat. And you could, we'll just call you poor little Daisy May.
No.
It's funny because sometimes lately, like I remember where I used to think about the dressing. I felt like I dressed really well. And I even had a clothing store in the early 80s and stuff. But now it's like in my 60s, it's sort of like, yeah, whatever. So I went to something the other day and I felt like, oh my God, I'm just like an overall away from Pa Kettle.
Oh no. <know? laughs>
That's going to be my next look.
My cousin looks at her sister and goes, don't you ever look in a mirror before you walk out the door?
Oh man, that's harsh, but I like
it. That is harsh. Well,
don't you have a mirror?
I do take a certain amount of pride in that.
You always look nice.
Well, thank you.
How was that?
Thank you. That was
no,
very
you really
nice.
Do. You're very put together.
Well,
in a non ostentatious, flashy
way.
Yeah,
I don't want to be ostentatious.
No, it's
ever.
Just pure style.
It's inherent.
It's like breathing.
Yeah. No, and see, I always think you look nice too. And now we're out of time almost. What else did we have to talk about? We got off track 10 times.
Yeah, you know, but I like getting off track.
Yeah, I do too.
We were going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about ice cream. We'll save that for next time.
Oh.
Like where to get ice cream on the island. And I'll sort of like, speaking of eating out and treats.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about ice cream next time because I found some recipes for ice cream that are different and really interesting. And so we could, you know, in July, we'll be back in July. And that's a good ice cream
we
month.
Will demystify the making of ice cream.
Because it's not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Is,
and you don't even really need an ice cream maker.
No, ma'am, you don't.
You really don't.
And if you want one, get one at Granny's. They're $5.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But that's... A hand crank kind?
No, the kind, I think it's even easier now. You just get the one that have an insert. Oh. You put it in your freezer for 24 hours, mm-hmm. and then you take the insert out, and then it's on a little mechanism. Mm-hmm. And they're always in there. Cuisinart makes them, and they're...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, everybody gets sick of making ice cream. You know? It's like, it's sort of like, it's a novelty at first, mm-hmm. you know, and then everybody says,
The sorbet is nice. It's easy to make like a sorbet. It's just sugar, water, lime juice, and... You know.
Yeah, but you can also make, I don't even know what you call it, granita?
Granita.
You know, you can just freeze some juice and some sugar and some things.
I think that's a Tony Orlando song. Oh, my granita, we could make it together.
And you put it in like a big cake pan.
Yes,
and put
and
it
then
in the freezer, and then you
out.
Scrape it with the fork for every hour or so.
Well, then
make it slushy.
We might have to talk about semi freddo, which is basically the opposite of clau foodi, delicious and good.
I think I better bring some clau foodi. I need to take a poll. Mm-hmm. I think you're the only person I know. I thought clau foodi when I first discovered it in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just quite an exotic thing.
No, it really is. You know, scrambling eggs and putting cherries in it. It's the bomb.
I knew some pretty famous chefs who.
I've got to look
it.
This up now. I have no idea.
C L A
U. Oh no.
C L A F O U
T I S.
Oh, maybe two.
I think it's one T.
One T.
Oh,
yeah. So.
It's French for bland and gummy.
And, you know, don't forget the music, Tromi. Oh, are you ready for the music?
Yeah, she's supervising our engineer.
I I can't help it some days. I just get nervous. I know. I should know. I should trust you.
Well,
but I just want to say thank you for listening, and we look forward to talking with you again in the near future.
It's always fun hanging with our Vashon peeps.
It is always fun. And if you have any suggestions, any ideas, feel free to email us or, you know.
But be gentle.
Yes, please be kind. Please be kind.
We're very
sensitive.
We're so sensitive.
We're so sensitive. Thank you for listening. You're listening to KVSH 101.9 on Voice of Vashon, Vashon Island, Washington. Bye-bye. Bye.